Welcome to Leadership Bites. In this podcast, we talk about relevant leadership topics in short, easy bite sizes, giving you food for thought as a leader. Our world has become complex and uncertain. We guide you with the skills you need so that you can do what you do best, lead. In our first season, we covered women's work, and in this season, we cover leadership topics and leadership wisdom in easy bite sizes. This podcast is produced by Dynamique at Work. Please check out our website for more bite-sized learnings. And if you enjoyed this talk, remember to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode. Welcome to our first episode in our new series on Leadership Bites. We'll be talking with Tim Hill today, and in our Leadership Bite episodes, we'll be talking about relevant topics, but in short bite-sized pieces. So I'm Rachel Govender, and as I mentioned, I'll be speaking to Tim Hill on digital transformation and leadership. So Tim, maybe you want to share a little bit on what do we mean when we talk about digital transformation?
Yeah, so I mean, literally digital transformation means using the newest technology to transform businesses and enhance customer experience. I mean, that's the, if you like, the textbook definition. A lot of people are now saying, why don't we just drop the digital? I mean, because everything is digital anyway. Every company is, in a sense, a tech company, and that they need lots and lots of technology. Why don't we just call it business transformation? And I think, you know, over time, we probably will drop the digital. I mean, if you think about it, who talks about home computing now? Because we have several computers at home anyway, not only our desktop and our laptop, but also, you know, obviously our phones and tablets. And there's a computer in the dishwasher probably as well, and things like that. So After a while, it becomes a little bit meaningless. But we are talking about really major transformation. That's really what we're talking about, obviously, with technology at every stage of the process.
Okay. And so when we talk about business transformation, I mean, it feels like with COVID, we've moved very quickly to transforming. And I'm wondering, so what does it mean for leadership, but maybe after COVID as well, not just during this transition period?
Yeah, and COVID is obviously another big thing in the mix here that's really, really changed a lot, particularly the whole idea of, I think, working from anywhere. We used to talk about working from home and having a home office day and that kind of thing. Now, it's really transformed into working from anywhere. And I just saw a couple of job ads the other day looking for senior managers, and both of them had working from anywhere, not anywhere in the world, but anywhere in Europe, because of time zones they had there. No need to relocate to headquarters, no need to relocate to the country. I mean, that's one factor, without any doubt. I think what it means for business, what it really means for leadership, is a balance between certain things that absolutely always endure, that always last, that are relevant in leadership and management, and certain things you absolutely have to pay attention to, which are perhaps new, which weren't the same 10 years ago, or certainly not 20 or 30 years ago. So it's really about realizing what's new in leadership and management, and what is perhaps lasting, or even you could say traditional things that are still relevant. And I can certainly give a few examples of that, if you like.
Yeah.
How that would look in practice.
I would love some examples.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, a leader still has to provide a vision, provide a direction, and probably some hope as well, as you asked about the whole COVID situation too, provide some sort of, you know, what's often called a North Star guiding light. That's still absolutely relevant. In terms of the disruption that we're all facing now, not just because of COVID, but because of digital change and so on and so forth, I think what also comes into bearing here is the phrase from Bob Johansson, who's a futurologist. He's been at the Institute for the Future since the 1970s, Institute for the Future in California, that is. And he always says, seek clarity, not certainty. And I think this is a fantastic maxim for the modern world. Certainty, if you seek pure certainty, you're going to be punished, because you just can't be certain about very much at all. But particularly from a leadership perspective, having clarity as best you can about where we're going, and also be clear on what you can't be clear on with your team, with your organization, with your people. I think that's really, really beneficial. And I really recommend reading Bob's work on this, because it's some of the clearest, actually, the clearest, let's say, advice and information for dealing with this world of, you know, VUCA, volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, that's talked about a lot. But that really is a very, very useful kind of philosophy and mindset to approach that.
Yeah, I really like the seek clarity and not certainty, because it's very difficult to be able to be certain on what's going to change and how things are going to look, whether we stay the same or move. So you mentioned leaders should still be able to give vision and direction. Mm-hmm. What can that look like in terms of clarity and not certainty?
Well, I think one thing that you can certainly do, particularly during a crisis situation, is to say something along the lines of, this is what we know, this is what we don't know, mm-hmm. and having a discussion about forming a common vision, a common direction together. That actually would probably win you much, much more credibility than just showing your own vision or re-showing the original strategy for, I don't know, 2025 that was made in 2019 or something like that. So I think it's those two things. It's being quite open about where you're clear and where you're not clear, and involving others to help you shape the future. Now, that might sound quite obvious, but I'm completely sure that there's plenty of leaders and organizations who don't do that enough, who are trying to like produce some sort of facade of optimism, facade of certainty, facade of strength, something like that. And that's really not what we need at the moment. But there are other ways, rather than just being paralyzed by the situation, as I say, whether it's more due to COVID or your whole market changing, whatever it happens to be. That's what I would say.
Mm. Yeah, definitely the transparency and probably doesn't sound very nice, but being more vulnerable to say, this is what we know right now, can help in terms of what the team, you know, your team can give you in terms of some insight and support in terms of the clarity. And also the uncertainty. How do you sure. embrace the uncertainty?
Sure. And Rachel, you mentioned vulnerability there, and there are many things I think that we've been talking about in leadership for many years, and books have been written about for many decades, to do with vulnerability, humility, authenticity, really generating empathy, working on empathy skills. The coach approach, leaders using coaching, all of these things are not at all new. And I think these are examples of things that absolutely are lasting and enduring in the digital world that we shouldn't throw out. We're not throwing out the baby with the bathwater at all. It's a very strong foundation for leading through, if we're calling it digitization or we call it just business transformation. They're things that are absolutely relevant.
Yeah. So I have one last question in terms of being able to do this, but in an online world, right? So you're employing leaders where you can be anywhere, which is great. Mm. So there's a lot more flexibility. Mm. If there was like a few pieces of advice in terms of how do you bring digital transformation or business transformation online, what would they need to do differently? Because, I mean, it's harder to build relationships or to check alignment when you're sitting in another country.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's two or three main things here. I mean, one is bringing digital to life involves what we call rapid prototyping, which again is something that a lot of people are living out. Sometimes it's out of necessity rather than out of conviction, but certainly rapidly experimenting, trying out new processes, new innovations, new behaviors as well. Design thinking is used a lot in many, many business contexts now. And that is all connected as well with unlearning what isn't working. So encouraging that. And part of that is most definitely trusting people to self-organize, to be accountable, to go away, try things out, and then reconvene perhaps online because we're working from anywhere. And in a lot of companies, people aren't actually allowed to go into the office anyway at the moment still. So it's this going out and dispersing and coming back. And if you like, reforming, giving each other feedback, getting some more ideas. And whether we're in the area of sales, whether we're in the area of software development, whether we're working out new finance processes, whatever it happens to be, this can still be relevant. And more companies, in fact, are working with a much wider ecosystem, another buzzword, an ecosystem of people, which will involve freelancers, perhaps located on the other side of the world, other companies, deep partnerships, partnerships that are temporary, might even involve working more with competitors insofar as it's allowed from a legal point of view as well. So all things really involve a way of working where we let go of much more. We're much less perfectionist. We don't have to have everything in place before we actually try something out. So embracing these things and not trying to do everything yourself, I think, is the key thing as a leader, but really push out accountability, responsibility, prototyping, encourage people to do it, because most people want to do that. It's not just a generational thing. People will pick up the ball and run and be happy to be asked for their feedback.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, the rapid prototyping. If you think of our digital transformation, when we went into having to work online, that was rapid prototyping. Everyone's figuring it out as you go along, and really the sharing of resources and ideas and how we actually can work together. So I think if there's one learning that I've come out with from the last year, that's been it. So I mean, that's great to have some ideas of what leaders can do, and also the underlying empathy and realness to be able to say, we're all figuring it out. Let's see how collectively we can come up with better ideas in terms of being able to transform the business and transform how we do work for the future.
Yeah, and I think this also ties into something, another word that's been around a while, but probably has even more relevance than ever, and that's the idea of reverse mentoring. Yeah. I mean, most senior leaders will have had a mentoring role, either formal or informal, but reverse mentoring, of course, means someone who has less experience than you and is likely to be younger than you actually mentors you on certain things. And I think being open to that, and more than open to it, actually seeking that out, is something that is perhaps newer, not brand new maybe, but newer and even more important. I mean, most obviously it can be to do with the technical area, but I think there's also a sort of social element there as well, understanding the latest trends, the latest developments from the point of view of someone who may be in some cases even younger than your children. So that can be something where I think there's a quick win there as well. A quick 20-minute discussion with someone can really bring a lot of insights. Because really the key thing here is everybody, including the whole organization, has to have a growth mindset, something that's been really very powerfully implemented at Microsoft, where they've gone from, what do they always say? They say they've gone from know-it-alls to learn-it-alls. I think that's the phrase they use there, which is, I think, a perfect summary of where we need to be.
Yeah, and I mean, this is nothing new to leadership development, because we've spoken a lot about how leaders don't need to know it all. They actually are there to be able to empower their team and coach their team and help them to say, okay, what can we do in order to be able to come up with the best results?
Exactly.
And also use their resources, use their knowledge within the team. And it's just interesting to see how it plays out now, where it becomes more real to say, okay, well, are we really doing this, or have you been stuck in that I'm the leader and I should know everything? So that's a really good takeout for leaders to be able to say, this is how much I can do, what can I learn from the team that's younger than me, that might be more tech savvy, or maybe they've got some other insight that they haven't had an opportunity to share before.
Yeah, it's not always a tech, it is a tech insight sometimes, but sometimes, as I say, it's other insights about how people are thinking. and how a different generation might be thinking, but there might be some other insights there. You don't know until you ask. That's really the whole point. So it's seeking out the reverse mentoring.
Yeah, seeking out the knowledge, seeking out what...
Seeking it out, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Sorry, Rachel, did you have another question?
No, I was just going to ask you, what is your next comment or question that you had?
It's only, there's been some great work done by a guy called David de Cremer, where he talks about AI, artificial intelligence and leadership. And it really builds on your last point, which was that leaders need to focus absolutely on leadership and increasingly lead the traditional management stuff, the stuff to do with processes, performance, with delivering on targets, to AI where it's possible. And I think this is a really, really interesting approach as well, where a lot of the more, if you like, boring, regular tasks can be done with a strong level of AI, let's say, input and output for that matter, freeing up time to focus on the kind of things that we've been talking about, the connecting with human beings, perhaps coaching, mentoring and getting mentoring yourself, developing your empathy skills by actually listening to people. So, you know, an example of that might be in, let's say, a call center, where there's a great deal of data not only produced on, you know, how many customers have called the call center and, you know, how many problems were resolved, but there can also be, you know, these effective dashboards these days, which are showing, if you like, the mood of the team or how much, perhaps even how much empathy a particular employee is showing. You know, AI can pick up on these things, analyze the language that's been used, analyze the tone of voice. And of course, this could be an absolute nightmare. I mean, if you were working for me in a call center, I could say, Rachel, what's happened to your empathy scores this month? What's gone on? I could talk to you like that. You know, the computer has told me you have no empathy anymore. Why? Or I can use that as a springboard for saying, there's some interesting scores here. Let's talk about it. I mean, what's going on? And of course, it might be, if I have a more leadership approach, rather than trying to manage us out of this situation, if I have a leadership approach, I might actually find out you've been dealing with customers who are complaining about a product that's faulty. So you've been in a very, very different situation, which is showing up in, if you like, in this data on this dashboard. And that's what we need to talk about, rather than the problem that the computer is saying you have. That's a very interesting approach as well. So again, we need those leadership skills. We need the empathy. We need the coaching. We need the listening. All of those things we've talked about for many years, combining it, if you like, with another phrase that's used is augmented humanity, if you like. It's all augmented by the technology, which I think is... an approach that's perhaps more different than 10 years ago as technology continues to move on. We get more and more data about people, not just about processes.
Yeah, and that's a really important point, in that the more data we get, it's how we interpret it, because we, the leaders, still need to bring in the humanness, so the humanity of... what does this mean? How can we, in terms of coaching, how can we ask the right questions? And I was reading recently about the more, you know, technology starts taking over, the more the skills of that cannot be duplicated by AI, for example, in terms of communication, empathy skills, your coaching skills, for example, become more important. So it's really good to be able to see. I like the phrase augmented humanity. I expected you to say augmented reality.
Well, that's a standard phrase as well, but that's referring to something different. We're really talking about this blend of management and leadership. The distinction is, again, not a new one, but the idea that management can be left more and more to technology, and how leadership handles all that tech input, which is largely data, of course. I mean, artificial intelligence is about data, basically.
Yeah.
And learning from that data, of course, but that's really the interface that has to be managed. Yeah.
Well, it sounds exciting, and I'm keen to learn more about it. How can people or leaders listening in, how can they learn more about it, besides the two books that we will put in the recommendations?
So I think the key thing is, whether you're a tech expert or not, that isn't really the point. It's more about having the right mindset. We mentioned the phrase growth mindset. Sometimes we talk about learning agility. Sometimes we just use the phrase new thinking. I think you've just got to be open to what's going on and finding things out, at least at a bit of a superficial level. You know, what does it really mean if we talk about 5G? What are the various types of artificial intelligence? How might that impact my industry? Will it be like an Uberization, you know, where one day I have a taxi company, the next day the taxi company's kind of been bypassed? Just having a general interest in these things, having the growth mindset, and really exploring what's going on. And back to what we said earlier, I mean, talk to people who are different, people who have different interests, maybe people of a different generation. It's really about collecting data yourself and working out how that's going to impact me. What can I do that I've always done that will, you know, keep me successful? What do I need to alter? Because I think you need that as a kind of, almost as a kind of buoyancy. If you think everything is changing and I have to change everything about myself, you're probably going to feel completely lost and at sea. If you realize that a lot of things will still be relevant, a lot of your strengths will still be relevant, but you need to adapt in a certain way. So I think it's really about keeping a growth mindset, and it's about seeking out and talking to people, whether they're really mentoring you or not, but finding out from people who have other interests in other areas just what's going on, because things are changing so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, growth mindset is another buzzword, but we'll put some links in the video as well. And basically, growth mindset is just finding out, like you said, just what else is happening out there. Mm. What can I learn from it and not be overwhelmed by everything going on? This is not me. I remember a leader of that I worked with previously said, I don't do virtual coaching, so I don't like it. And then they started really embracing it, because it's something that once you get over the initial uncomfortableness, you learn how to do it. So definitely growth mindset.
Yeah.
So any last words before we end the chat? I mean, it's been really interesting to hear a bit more about digital transformation.
Yeah, I think just to go back to where we were at the beginning, don't necessarily think it's all about digital, because everything is about digital. That might sound a bit contradiction, but the word digital is just talking about the tech involved, and it's not really about the tech, it's about the human side of things if we're talking about leadership. And perhaps one last thing I would say is, linking with what you were saying a couple of minutes ago, Rachel, is that basically every civilization that exists or has ever existed on the earth has stories about people who lose their humanity because they're chasing money or they're chasing power, or maybe it's the same thing in many stories. And the same thing applies here. If we lose our humanity by trying to put everything into the efficiency that digital technology can offer, we're going to get into trouble. So it's about remembering that eternal lesson. Don't forget your humanity, but make your humanity work in the context where you're living. And whether that's, as I say, something we call the digital age or whatever we're talking about next, I mean, maybe industry 5.0, 6.0, 7.0, whatever it happens to be, it's about this balancing act, if you like, between management and leadership, as David de Cremer talks about. And if we want to know more, I'd recommend both Bob Johansson's work and David de Cremer's work as a great and very accessible point to start as well.
Okay, that's great. So the leaders have something that they can start with. So I want to thank you for your time. I mean, this has been really informative. Not digital transformation, but business transformation. Everything is on the digital space. But
yeah,
keeping your humanity throughout the changes that are happening.
Yeah.
Very, very key for leaders.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Rachel. Anytime.
Make sure to visit our website, dynamicatwork.com, for more resources and information. Dynamic at Work. We connect and grow leaders.